WrestleTalk.com.
This is Rob Van Dam. You are listening to WrestleTalk Radio, boo.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online sports entertainment, WrestleTalk Radio.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
This is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho.
I'm in five halls of fame. I wear a kilt. I play the bagpipes. Who am I? I'm Roddy Piper, for heaven's sake!
Breaking down everything in the world of professional wrestling in the WWE.
It was right here in this room my father taught me. He said, keep your friends close and your enemies closer.
TNA.
What are you looking at, lady? Never seen a pair of boots before? Mind your business.
I think that's a man.
Oh, she needs a wax or something.
You're right.
Ugh.
And the indie scene.
Hey, everybody, this is Xbox.
This is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
Hi, everybody, this is good old JR Jim Ross.
With your host, Tim Stein.
Your internet slow. Did you disable cookies?
Omega.
Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who is the fairest one of all?
Mace.
Why so serious?
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
Did you know I'm utterly insane?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Have a nice day.
Yeah, baby.
Money. Money, 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 money.
And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. This is our Money in the Bank review show. For those just tuning in just to hear how the pay-per-view went, so am I, because I didn't get to see it. Oh, this is going to be fun. I get to sit here and play with toys while everyone else describes everything and does all the work.
I'm going to keep my mouth shut. Finish your intro, please.
Sure. This is the Be All End All Network, the Omega. Joining me tonight, we have Mace.
I have no money. No money in the bank either.
Someone is running appliances right now.
No, I've got no appliances running.
For those of you wondering, take a shot.
It's Sunday. Of course my internet's crapped out. Actually, and my internet is fine. It's just Skype sucks.
And once again, interrupting my intro with his, what is that, 52K modem you're running right now?
64.
He's upgraded. The one and only Tim Stein.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night. Yeah, I'm on Skype through my phone for some reason. Sunday night shows up and Skype decides it wants to be a bitch. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't get it.
That's what it sounds like. You're on a, with a dial tone to him. You suck.
Okay. Don't do that because I'm like, what the fuck? That was rude of you to do so.
Eh?
For a second there, I thought I'd have to change my name to JJ Sexy, and Omega would have to be, No, that'd be Lindsay. I was gonna go Internet Dave.
No, he's way smarter than Internet Dave. I mean, at the very worst, Omega could be Jason Klevitt.
Oh. Talk about it.
Except Omega doesn't look like Kane. Whereas if anybody's ever seen Jason Klevitt, they'd understand that.
So we're back in the age of sounds like...
Welcome. You've got voicemail. Welcome. You've got voicemail.
or this one.
You've got mail.
There we go.
There you are. Yeah, well,
I hope everybody found us quite well through the AOL search engines.
Yeah, and yeah. If you didn't,
I'm clearing my Skype browser history and all that other crap, and I'm rebooting the computer, and we'll see if that works.
File's done.
I'm just expecting to see Meg Ryan just about any time now.
That's all right. Any JPEG you'll see on the screen will take 13 hours to load. That's unless you get a phone call and screws it all up at the last minute.
Collect a bunch of... Oh, okay, you're collect a bunch of a-holes.
And by the end of the show, we would probably hear goodbye, but apparently that sound doesn't want to work. So, anyway.
You tried playing goodbye and it didn't work.
It didn't work. There's no sound on the goodbye. It's awesome.
Seriously, you're an ass.
Well, how long have you known me, Tim? So.
Well, no, that's not the question. The question is, how long have you been an ass? And the answer is, as long as I've known you.
Here, we'll try it again, maybe. No, doesn't want to work. Goodbye, sounder doesn't want to work. So, anyway.
Yeah, my goodbye probably works just fine, which I'm going to say in a minute.
Which means you'll hear, that doesn't even work. The buddy out sound doesn't work either. Oh, well. Half their AOL sounds don't work.
Failing.
The AOL
broke their soundboard.
I'm going through the AOL actual sounds, and they don't work, so. Go. Take it from there.
It's AOL. What does work?
Apparently only this.
You've got mail.
Not the only thing anyone remembers anymore.
Oh, shit. What else was there? CompuServe.
We're not digging up CompuServe tonight, Tim.
Oh, come on. Where's the ICQ, man?
What else? Oh, shit. What else from 1998?
Yahoo Chat.
Yeah.
Yahoo Chat. Which, by
made their own chat rooms.
Yeah, by the way, we want everyone to check out our new GeoCities page and sign in to our guest book.
Oh, hey, I heard the rumor there's something that you're going to be able to make your own personal web space. Your own, like, little page. I think it's called, like, MySpace or something.
Yeah, right.
That's supposed to be coming up.
In what, 5 years from now? Jeez.
Hey, spoiler. It takes time for them to do shit like that.
Okay. Can we finish this up and get to, you know, WWF Raw and WCW Monday Nitro?
Don't forget ECW. We got to talk about then. They had a great show on TNN yesterday.
I still get them through my VHS tape trading, so I can't get them here.
We're old.
Oh, my God. Tape trading. Damn, you opened up a can of worms. I'm still waiting for my WrestleMania 10 from Malaysia, for Christ's sakes.
Oh, lordy.
I'm busting my ass here trying to stall while the computer reboots.
Yeah, and since we're going back in time... And
that's what we were doing.
Yeah, you know, here, I'll buy you some time.
Bad enough that I can't hear that theme now without thinking the Botchamania opening.
The weird thing is, the first thing I thought of was the old Super Nintendo game.
No, all I heard, like, the opening few things come in, and all I can hear is, fuck! We coming for you, nigga!
Have we bought you enough time yet, Tim?
No, it's still shutting down.
Still shutting down?
Oh, good God.
Oh, my.
Clear the pawn, Tim. Clear the pawn.
And there's a drop.
It's going to be one of those nights.
So we'll transfer. We'll go from there to Thunder!
My God.
Yeah, can you tell we're stalling for Tim? Because he's
I can remember playing that on the PlayStation.
I know, right?
We've just gone down nostalgia lane, something shocking for the first 20 minutes of this show. For those of you who are just joining the show, yes, we will get the Money in the Bank eventually when, like...
keep talking. You think. You can talk over it.
Very crappy acclaim make game.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I will take any ECW game over some of those WCW games for PlayStation.
Oh, WCW Mayhem.
Backstage Assault.
Oh, God, I remember that.
No. WCW Nitro, made by THQ for the PlayStation and PC.
I remember going at, like, 9:30 at night for Thunder. It was, like, the worst mistake I ever made.
Mind you, WCW versus the World wasn't a bad game.
That's actually pretty good.
Basically because it was just a rip-off of, like, Fire Pro J, but...
Yeah. Anyway.
See, we've lost Tim Stein.
Can you tell?
Megan's only partly watched the pay-per-view, so I guess Rock and I are going after the whole pay-per-view now.
We're going to talk the pay-per-view, and I would have had a filler segment, but somebody cut it at the last minute. So, we're going to go right into the pay-per-view. Well, because you know how we always open the show, win or fail, but Tim said, no, let's cut it tonight. So, we're cutting it. So, we went nostalgia instead. And we're going to talk the Money in the Bank.
The scary thing is, the nostalgia shit was easier for me to remember than something for win-fail.
He's got a point. But that's just Omega and myself. We live in, like, the late 80s, early 90s. We never left that era.
And Tim is still in this era.
Tim's, like, in the 1900s. What are you talking about?
No, this is what era.
Is it sad that I miss stupid gimmicks like this? I can understand a stupid gimmick like Disco Inferno, but for the life of me, I can't understand why somebody thinks fucking Adam Rose is good. They're practically the same fucking gimmick.
I'll throw you back away with this one.
Oh, God. No, the thing is... Berlin.
Berlin.
Oh, it's right.
Uh-huh.
That's Wonder Kid.
That's Wonder Kid. He stole the dance off the Bushwhackers. We all know it.
He just did a lot more thrusting.
Yeah, pretty much. It was the same, exact same arm movements, just more thrusting.
Uh-huh. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
See, I love it when we do this because, like, it's like I know this, and it takes a few minutes for everything to sort of go click.
Now, guess this one.
Masahiro Chono.
No.
No. Ultimate Dragon.
Ultimate Dragon. Yes.
And what's his name? Sonny Ono.
Sonny Ono, eh?
Sonny Ono.
Yes, the man who was still waiting for his payoff from WCW over a racial lawsuit.
I remember loving watching those two walk out with, like, 9 cruiserweight titles around them.
Yeah, he had something like, he had, like, 9 belts at one stage. Well, he was more belt than man at one point.
He is more belt now than man.
Yeah, it's just one of those things, man. Like, Dragon was so good in WCW, and then they brought him in WWE and absolutely ruined him.
Well,
that's what happens when you have a division with like other like-minded either Japanese or Mexican wrestlers to wrestle for guys like that to wrestle against, as opposed to bring him in against American guys.
Any idea?
Oh, I should know this.
The greatest...
I know the music, but I can't remember the name.
The greatest member of the Four Horsemen of Come on.
Lex Luger?
No.
Don't mind that shit. Here comes Mongo!
There you go.
Yeah, this is what happens when you have a 500. I think it's sitting at about 500 gig now of WCW stuff from like 95 from 2001. All this music, it's like gets ingrained in the back of your mind.
That's Lex Luger.
That's Luger.
Luger's first. That's Luger. Yes. Actually, that's his second. I have an earlier theme for the total package as well.
For the WCW?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to that one really quickly.
Oh, God.
So
this was like for half a year in 95. Because I know in 96 he was using that other one.
Yeah.
But fuck. Yeah, that was the one when he debuted.
And we can see they changed it because, well, they needed
legal reasons.
That too. And, you know, here's one more WCW throwback we have to play.
Wasn't this used for their actual show at one stage?
Maybe. But can we name the superstar?
Oh, I should know this.
Tim, do you know?
It's Brett. It took a minute, and then you said, Tim, do you know? And I'm like, fuck, it is. It's Brett.
And that's why I was trying to cue it, but of course, microphone fail for Tim Stein.
That theme just encompasses just how little they just gave a shit about Bret Hart.
Pretty much.
That's the most generic theme I've ever heard.
I don't know, there was some pretty generic shit tonight. I'm looking at you, Wyatts.
But hopefully the Canadian's able now to lead us in a direction because he's the leader of the show apparently.
Otherwise it's going to be like 3 hours of retro.
Yeah, the Exxon Valdez had a leader too.
So the Titanic, and that, well, you saw how that went. Alright, Rock, let's just ignore the old man and his malfunctioning equipment and let's just get into it.
Let's get into Money in the Bank, and we'll kick off with the kickoff. And we had Daniel Bryan on the Money in the Bank kickoff. And he gave us some bad news. He doesn't know when he's coming back, and his arm doesn't have full strength still, and he may have to have another surgery, guys.
And his puppy just died, and
someone killed an aunt.
Bad news.
Yeah. So,
mind you, he had a good little smirk on his face when he said, "I've got some bad news."
Everyone seems to like doing "I've got some bad news," and well, the person with bad news we'll get to in a bit. All right, let's try this again. Tim. Keep adding on drops. That were like, even though he's hanging up a purpose, we're adding drops. It was like five. Anyway, they talked about the biggest threats to win the title, Cena, Orton, and Roman Reigns. He felt disrespected by the authority because he was actually never told. They never actually called him to tell him that, well, he was stripped of the title. This is where you cue Bo Dallas.
Why did we have to cue Bo Dallas?
Because Bo Dallas is awesome. I know you're not a Bo Lever, but Bo Dallas coming out was awesome. And he basically told him, you know, don't, you know, you can climb back up that ladder. It's not, life isn't about the destination. It's about the journey. You can climb that ladder, but you can still climb it in life. All you have to do is believe. Then Brian did something about Bo was acting like a boner.
A boner, and can he bug on?
Bo leave.
Ah, that's right, Bo leave.
And they have the Bo leave t-shirt on WWEshop.com.
Which I'm quite sure you and Lindsay are buying several.
No, the one that says Bo leave has the leave in red, not the Bo leave, the what he wears. It actually says Bo leave.
Oh, thank God, something I can get.
Something you can get.
That was the chant in NXT when he was running that gimmick.
That's why they made the shirt. So, yeah, Bo came out. Interesting. We then had a Wyatt Femme promo. Told the Usos their time is up, and they're coming, and they better run. And that starts off the pay-per-view WWE Tag Team Title match, the Usos against the Wyatt Family, Mace. This was a really, really good match.
It was. It was definitely showing how far Rowan and Harper have come as a tag team, especially since their NXT days. They've sort of gotten a bit more on track. And, well, the Usos fold up in so many spectacular ways to make them selling. Like, selling the moves just look fucking awesome.
Yeah, pretty much. This was pointed out to me, and I saw the pictures of it. There was a Ravishing Rowan sign in the crowd.
Ravishing Rowan. Lindsay, when did you get to the pay-per-view?
And then someone actually photoshopped a picture of Rowan's head on Rude's body.
I have got some editing to do with WWE 2K13 later.
We had a lot of... It was a really, really good opener, a really hot opener. The Uso did a nice corkscrew from the top, which was nice. We had the Usos flying. We had Harper flying. There was a nice sit-down powerbomb spot as I'm talking over Tim's fucking with his cord because we heard him go,
Oh, you can hear me.
Yeah, but you're fucking...
Yay! Fucking thing works.
There you go.
Hi, kids.
Yeah, all right. Be quiet for a minute.
Oh, I'm sorry. Were you talking?
Yeah, I was recapping the match.
What match?
Where the opener.
I'm just trying to catch up. Did you talk about Daniel Bryan?
Yes. We stalled for 20 minutes and you still couldn't get your shit together.
Yeah, Tim, we did that shit. Shut the fuck up so I can get into the first match.
There was a nice sit-down powerbomb spot for a long two count. There was a spot where Rowan caught Jay on the outside. Then Harper dove out onto Jay. And then another spot where Harper dove onto Jimmy when he got caught. Really nice stuff there. It was almost like a double huge chokeslam spot. It wasn't a chokeslam, but they lifted him up as high as you would for a chokeslam to the Usos, which was nice. And then Mace, Rowan went crazy as he went to the top rope.
He did? I can't remember. It's been 3 hours, and then we went nostalgic, and now my memory's gone.
Rowan, without a leader, went to the top rope, got caught. Both Usos did a double superplex, taking him off the top rope, and then both Usos climbed the top ropes, splash after splash, on their arc, Rowan. The Usos retain the tag team titles.
I have a question.
Yes, Tim.
Is anybody besides me really sick and tired of Uso Crazy?
I was tired of it day one.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
It's just as bad as Jamaica Me Crazy.
Jamaica Me Crazy.
They interviewed Mike Adamly on WWE.com last week. He's all open to a return.
He's the only one.
Pretty much, yeah.
So basically, going back to the Daniel Bryan interview, he kind of foreshadowed that Breeze is going to come back and get shit out of Steph, right?
Spoiler
alert.
How dare you spoil? How dare you do spoilers for Omega? He hasn't seen the pay-per-view yet.
Yeah. Well, then why is he listening?
He's playing with toys.
So who says I'm listening?
Yeah, like, yeah, okay, there you go. So he's not listening.
Kane Kidd, this is his dream matchup. Mike Adamly and Big Johnny in a match for general manager. That's Kane Kidd's dream matchup.
Kane Kidd's a sick pervert. That's all I can tell you. Based on a conversation I had last night with Rock, Kane Kidd, you disgust me.
Corner.
Anyway, what do you think of the match, Tim?
I thought that I wasn't surprised one single bit to see the Usos retain the titles. That's what I thought.
Yet you were all clamoring for the Wyatts to win at one point. But
what's that?
You were clamoring for the Wyatts to win. You thought they would actually win, but you know.
Well, I thought for sure that I picked Usos to retain.
You did, but you were...
Well, then shut up!
You really wanted to change that pick, didn't
you? Well, I was thinking, you know, I was thinking maybe it's enough is enough and it's time for a change.
Like tomorrow night on Monday Night Raw.
No. Tomorrow night's going to have a very familiar main event.
John Cena versus Randy Orton.
Hey.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, we'll get there, though.
Yeah, boy, I'll tell you. Yeah, no, you know, I'm just, as far as the match goes, the thing I hated the most about it was the music for Harper and Rowan. But pick some, you know what, go back to the original, let them use that. We don't need to just leave that for when Bray shows his ass up. I don't care what Lindsay might say.
She doesn't like the music either.
And you're going to love this. I'm getting a phone call that I have to answer.
You know, like, we stall and stall and stall.
Yeah, I'll be right back.
All right, Subway. Anyway, moving along.
So let's talk Angel Fire pages.
No, I want to stick to the tripod pages.
Tripod?
Tripod? Fuck, you had money.
Totally forgot that one.
No, tripod was free, man. I don't know what you're talking about. They made you plaster...
If you wanted something decent...
They made you plaster a big old ad on top of your page. But...
Yeah, no thanks.
Then there was also Hypermart. I don't know if anyone remembers Hypermart. Anyway.
Oh, I do.
So the Usos retain, and we'll see how long their reign continues for. We then had an Ambrose promo. Basically, case or face? Case or face?
Put him in face paint. Make him the Joker. He can give Gotham the class of criminal it deserves.
Did you see the face paint picture on WWE.com with him?
I didn't, unfortunately.
Oh, it was special.
But that promo had the whole makings of the bit in Dark Knight where he's trying to do that intimidation on the Batman imposter. Mm-hmm. It's like that in the actual introduction where the Joker's talking to all the mob bosses, like, "Hey Seth, do you want to see a magic trick? Watch me make this ladder disappear. Up your ass." I know. I just see Ambrose being that over the top supervillain right now, and I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm good with this.
I'll go with that. We then have our Divas Championship contest of the evening, Naomi versus Paige.
Paige actually got a chance to wrestle, my God.
I was happy they put this match where they did. Because lately the Divas matches on pay-per-view have been stuck at the very end, in between two big main events.
Yeah, that's true. But at the same time, it's like, Paige actually got a chance to wrestle. Naomi looked like crap for 90% of it. Except that dive over the top rope, holy shit.
That was nice. I also liked her...
Slaying ass to the face!
Uh-huh. I also liked her modified surfboard. That was a nice submission.
Oh, the fucking... Naomi's jumped up on Paige, wrapped her legs around, and Paige just grabbed her by the head and gone, fuck you, slapped straight back into the canvas.
We then had an awkward moment where both girls were on the top rope, and they sort of fell.
Yeah, someone sort of fucked up.
Was it a fuck up, or was it a planned spot that just didn't go right?
Could be anything.
Was it a fuck up or a planned spot that didn't go right?
No, it was a planned fuck up. A planned fuck up where they both fell to the outside and beat the 10 count. But it just looked like someone slipped before they both tumbled out safely. That's the way it was. You have to see it to understand it. They just showed it on the replay on the WWE Network. Which, by the way, no press conferences tonight. Kind of disappointed in that.
Yeah, no post show.
That's what happened.
But wait a minute. We're the post show.
We are the post show. And there is.
We have been for more than the Money in the Bank's been around.
You missed. You're a little ahead. You're ahead by 2 minutes, Mace. For that spot.
Come on, that little fax thing was hilarious because I'm sitting here thinking, well, shit.
Oh, I know.
WTR's been around since before Paige was in school.
We had a few nice false finishes towards the end. Paige countered the reverse DDT into a DDT spike of her own and retained the Divas Championship.
Yeah, wasn't a bad match. Would view again.
They had a better match on Main Event. They tried more things here, and it not all worked. Now we have the By the Numbers promo that Mace was talking about.
Yeah, this is not January. We are not in the Royal Rumble. Do not do a By the Numbers.
I kind of like the promo. It's good.
It's like we're going through it, and I made this mention in our little production chat. They're going through, it's like when the first Money in the Bank happened, Paige wasn't in high school, they didn't have any videos on YouTube, they didn't have, Facebook was a year old, and Twitter didn't exist. Yet you could still hear what happened on every pay-per-view on WTR Sunday night.
Pretty much.
If only we could have shilled some way in that form.
And then we had... Damien Sandow as Paul Revere.
Yes, put in a British man in the role of somebody who is known in American history for shouting, "The British is coming."
In this match, he chanted, "The elbow is coming."
Oh, that was hilarious.
So
I still feel sad for Sandow every time he comes out in one of these stupid costumes. But this time, at least, he made it funny.
He did make it work as he took on Adam Rose. He called everyone half-wits. The fans got into singing the Rose song. Sandow had a lot more offense than I thought he would in this one, because lately he's just been getting squashed. He actually controlled most of this match.
Yeah, it's true. He did control most of this match, but in the end it was... You knew it was designed to once again get Adam Rose and his Rosebuds over. Don't know what it is about the gimmick, just really irks me. Could be the fact that I've seen what this guy can do in a more serious role when he was Leo Kruger. And it's like, dude, you have so much fucking potential. At this rate, you're going to end up like Santino and Emma. Your little sideshow attractions that you bring out on live events and Main Event.
Yeah, so. Adam Rose wins with the party foul. Sandow eventually hit the "You're welcome" full Nelson slam thing, but it only led to a 2 count. Oh yeah, solid match. Rose goes over. Then we had the Money in the Bank competitors read promos.
My name is Seth Rollins, and I am going to be in the Money in the Bank ladder match. I am going to win this match because Triple H loves me. I am Seth Rollins.
That's pretty much what it was.
You could see, like, I could almost see it in his eyes where he's going, can you just make that teleprompter work a little bit fucking faster, please?
And since this was pre-taped, you know, maybe they could have edited it, the dead spot.
Or retake it.
That too.
Yeah. So many jump cuts.
No, we got budget cuts in the WWE right now. We can't afford a faster teleprompter.
Can't afford editing either. Awesome.
And we can't afford to retake it. You got one reel of footage. Go.
So the Money in the Bank competitors had their little promo, which led into Money in the Bank contract match, the traditional ladder match. Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose, Dolph Ziggler, Rob Van Dam, Jack Swagger, Kofi Kingston, and no Bad News Barrett because, well, Swagger hurt him.
Swagger hurts everyone who's doing really good.
And then we gave him ladders on tonight.
Why?
Every time Swagger picked up a ladder, I'm yelling at my TV, no Swagger, put it down, bad Swagger.
Yeah, that's exactly what I did.
And yet, out of all this, who's the one who gets... Well, there's two people who get hurt in this match. One, Seth Rollins. Thank you, Rob Van Dam. In one hell of a bump.
Well, we'll get to that. Well, we had three people actually look like they got hurt in this one. Anyway, Dean Ambrose came right out and went after Seth Rollins, so they started Raw. There was a nice spot. Swagger was holding the ladder. Kofi actually ran off it and hit RVD. So you had everyone sort of get their spots in, and as Mace mentioned, yeah, they bridged this ladder between the rope and the middle of the ring with the other ladder. Yeah.
Okay. Just to get the visual, you've got the ladder in the middle of the ring, set up properly.
Yes.
About halfway through, they've put another ladder straight, one edge on inside the ladder on the rung. The other is on the top rope. I believe Seth was on the opposite side of the ladder from the one that was sitting horizontal. Van Dam flips him over the top of the ladder onto the horizontal ladder, which, because it's on the top rope, springs up like a motherfucker.
Was not stable at all.
Was not stable at all. The end that's on the rung slips out. Seth goes head first down onto the bottom rung of the upstanding ladder after hitting the horizontal ladder. People are going, oh shit, he's dead.
He looked like he was dead. Yeah, this was an insane match. They went at it. There was a super. I believe someone got superplexed off the ladder. Oh, that big ladder before that set up that big spot. I think it was
after, wasn't it?
No, because it took someone off of that. I think. Mm. Yeah. Either way, it was a big spot, a big superplex spot, and yeah, it was just, they went at it. There was a spot where Dean got checked on. He got forced out of the match. Checked on his shoulder because he injured it.
What prompted that? Because I missed it.
He got knocked off of the ladder somehow and landed on his shoulder.
It wouldn't happen to be that move that I sent the gif of, where he superplexed Rollins off
the
ladder.
That was the superplex spot, and then, yeah, I think it might have been that. Oh, that superplex spot. Dean bounced the hell up off of that superplex.
He flipped himself 180 off that bounce.
Yeah. It was insane. It was insane. Then we had Dolph Ziggler at one point. Crowd gets behind him. He's going to get up there. No. Swagger put the ankle lock on Ziggler, and Ziggler was actually climbing while in the ankle lock, which was nice. And then Seth Rollins clears house. He's about to get the belt. Dean Ambrose comes back, beats him with a chair. Dean is ready to get the briefcase. He's going to be the winner of the Money in the Bank. Cue Kane.
Somebody pull Zeb Coulter out of the way.
Yeah, move away from the pyro, Zeb. It's going to get hot. All right, now, before I continue, he's not here. Drop. And he's back. The call's back for him. So, add another shot. Anyway.
Have another shot!
You dropped again.
I dropped again. I know. I apologize for, like, answering the phone, but, you know, I haven't talked to my son in a week. I've been out of town working, like, way far away. The little bugger doesn't have Skype on his computer yet, so I haven't been able to talk to him.
Yeah, Subway, you put us on hold. Whatever.
Oh, you Subway. Fuck off.
Anyway, Kane comes out, pulls Ambrose off the ladder, chokeslams him, gives him a tombstone. Kane then holds ladder for Rollins. Seth Rollins wins Money in the Bank.
Not surprised.
Especially after Bad News Barrett got hurt.
Not surprised.
Weak.
I tell you, I'm thinking if things go the way that I don't want them to go during this pay-per-view, I might go on the internet and threaten to boycott WWE.
Oh, no. I like this match.
I don't know why, but after all, like, after how exciting this match was, to have it end with Kane coming, like, a screwjob bit was fine. He comes out, he screws over Ambrose. And then there's, like, nothing really to it. There's no real fanatic scramble or anything.
Yeah.
It sort of pulled the excitement out of that last few seconds.
Well, you know, you're absolutely correct. I would have been happy if Kane was smacking guys away from the ladder while Seth crawled up it. That would have, you know, you're saying it didn't, you know, it was a shitty ending. That would have been a better ending. He's Seth's bodyguard, and he's the authority's bitch. Well, then, you don't need to hold the freaking ladder. Go pick somebody up and punch him in the head a few thousand times.
Yeah, at least have somebody else scramble up to try and, like, at least scramble into the ring so Kane has something to do rather than holding the ladder.
Yeah.
It just looked like it was a very bleh ending.
And to go back to Tim's earlier comment.
You know what? If you don't like it, go on the internet and complain.
There you go. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, I'm on the internet. I am complaining, so thank you very much.
Well, apparently so are a bunch of other people, which I've got a mini rant against haters after we're done.
Oh, no. Tim's taking a stand. Look out, everybody.
So there.
It's all right. You know what will happen. You'll get halfway through the rant, and then the call will drop out.
Yeah, and you will never find out my full feelings about it, about Keith.
The bad accent spot on the card. Anyway, circling back, I want to get your thoughts first on the Divas Championship, Paige and Naomi.
Divas and it started out, I think I said something, hey, yay, we get to actually see what Paige is capable of, and then they reverted, and I lost interest.
Good insight right there.
Yeah.
Damian Sandow as Paul Revere.
Oh, that was really cute. He kind of sort of rocked the hat a little bit. But note to JBL and every other American who's getting it wrong, Paul Revere never said the British are coming.
No, tonight he said the elbow is coming.
Tonight, yeah, he said the elbow is coming. But the real Paul Revere never said the British are coming. Because back then, the United States of America was not yet the United States of America. They were the colonies, and everybody was still British. Paul Revere and his night ride, and he wasn't the only one who went, you know, screaming down. It was, what's his name as well. They were screaming out, they were calling out, the regulars are coming. History lesson.
The useless fact
of spot the night.
Spot on the board now.
Hey, there's a reason why I never lose Trivial Pursuit, okay?
I need to get you...
You were there for most of it.
You're there for most of it. I need to get you and Rob...
Don't you have some dolls to play with?
Playing with them right now.
Okay.
I can insult you and play with dolls at the same time.
Oh, wow, multitasker, you must be effeminate.
It's the hair.
I thought so.
Like I was trying to say, I need to get you and Rob in a trivia contest, because, yeah, it'd be fun.
What are you going to do, pull out a box of Trivial Pursuit questions and just rapid-fire them, and whoever gets the most right wins?
Yeah, that would work. Apparently he's very good at it, I was told last night. He's very good at trivia, so...
Nice.
Then the Money in Bank contract match. Anything stand out to you? Because we sort of went through it, but what stood out to you in that match?
The three biggest spots of the night. Two of them taken by Seth. Huge props to Seth for taking them. And the third biggest one was on RVD, courtesy of the guy that we were scared of collectively.
Mm-hmm.
Jack Swagga. Because we were all scared that RVD was going to, like, get killed or something.
Well, he kills everybody he's in the ring with, so we have right to be scared.
Well, he killed Barrett even before the pay-per-view showed up. A couple days before the pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, other than that, you know, Seth Rollins with the two big ones. I just felt like the Money in the Bank match started off almost like it was going uphill. And I don't mean in a bad way. I mean, they kept spoon-feeding us bigger and bigger and bigger spots slowly until they got to the three top ones.
Yeah.
Which is really nice. I mean, that's great. I mean, in previous Money in the Bank matches, we have had basically, you know, we've had high spots all over the place. And there was no real progression. In this one, there was a sense of progression. It was kind of nice to have it build up. I'm kind of surprised that I didn't see something huge from Kofi Kingston.
Although, speaking of Kofi, he had the early spot. That reminds me, he got shoved off the ladder early, and then he landed on the top rope and then sprung off of that onto the guys on the outside.
Oh, that was a beautiful springboard falling off the ladder under the top rope over and into everybody.
Yeah.
That was great. But this is what I'm talking about. This was not the huge thing that you're expecting from Kofi. It was a great build up and it was a fantastic precursor.
It was a fantastic precursor. Don't stop talking like that because it sounds like you drop.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to make it.
Yeah, asshole.
Sound like I dropped.
Yeah. Because we were going to add another shot, but yeah, anyway.
Shoot this, bitch.
Yeah, we don't need people getting drunk accidentally.
Well, no, I plan on getting drunk on purpose later after my paperwork's done.
Anyway. So Seth Rollins is the Money in the Bank winner. Steph and Hunter come out to congratulate him. Tim playing the part of the authority by clapping.
You played the game.
Now do the Steph.
What was that? Shut up.
Now do the Steph impression.
No, because you're recording this and I'm not going to let you clip it. Fuck off.
Darn.
And I'm like, oh, no. Okay, I'm doing my Steph impression. I'm doing the smile with the scrunched up nose. There, you can't record that. Fuck off.
I can go play the excuse me clip if I...
No! You cannot do that. We've heard enough of it. We're going to hear a lot of it Tuesday.
Live on the WWE Network.
That's it. That's it. You play that, and I'm going to screen cap that picture of Vicky's ass you're sick and tired of seeing, and I'm going to plaster it all over your timeline.
What, on Twitter?
Yep.
I like to see you try. Anyway, there's a but. Anyway, moving on. We talked about his chances of winning, and says he wins tonight. Ryback and Curtis Axel versus Stardust and Goldust.
I don't care what you guys say. I'm getting a kick out of. I'm getting a kick out of Stardust. It's hilarious.
He's eating. He's playing into it. I'm. You know.
Oh. guy, come on, Cody looks like he's having a great time behind all of the makeup and everything like that. Like his brother's brother.
He gets to mock his brother.
You know, he's a little bit looser and a lot more unpredictable, and he's just like, it's fun to watch. I mean, oh my god, it's a train wreck and you're rubbernecking, but it's still fun.
Mm-hmm.
And when they tag together, it's like dust to dust. It's fantastic.
What wasn't fantastic, the singlet Axel was wearing.
What the hell was that?
I don't know. I guess
I think I have my eyes on a familiar design over at the place where I buy my gear.
Was it a tribute to his father?
Tell me you've fully, totally changed your mind now that you've seen him wear that.
Yeah, I'm going something different. Same same colors, but not... Yeah.
Thoughts on the match?
Yeah, wasn't bad. Like, as much as I'm not a fan of the Stardust gimmick, if there's anybody on this planet that could make it work, it is Cody Rhodes. And he does look like he's having a lot of fun, except for when he puts his hands together to form the star and then pulls it away and looks like he has rape face.
Rape face?
Rape face.
Well, yeah,
I'm coming to plow your ass.
it is kind of creepy.
Yeah.
Hashtag that, everybody. Hashtag rape face.
Watch the feminists jump all over that one.
That's just the. Yeah. I will agree that is a creepy face when the hands go away. That is the face of a man with a windowless van that has free kittens written on the side of it.
Yeah. And he's dressed up as a clown. No, that's too far.
But yeah, other than that, it was a good match. It was a filler, so it was all right.
Yeah, it was. It's Goldust and his brother versus Reb Axel. I mean, the best thing in that match was Goldust and Stardust. It sure is fucking Reb Axel.
No, finished all Rhodes or Stardust. Escaped the shell shock, which I couldn't remember the name of for like 5 minutes. Hit the crossroads. Stardust was able to roll up Axel then for the win. And then Goldust and Stardust laid out Axel afterwards.
Yay! Boo!
Hiss.
Clap, clap, applied.
Break.
And that being said, everybody listening to WTR, Sunday Night Wars Talk Radio, right here on the World Talk Radio Network. We've got, one, two, and three more matches to talk about. We're Money in the Bank. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back right after this. Stay tuned. Let's see if my internet craps out.
Green is where it's at. Never let you down.
Every Thursday night, we bring to you The Rack.
These people yearn for enlightenment. Who do they have to turn to? Who do they have to place upon a pedestal so that they may bask in the glow of their own essence? In short, the answer is no one.
We bring you a complete recap of Impact Wrestling, along with all of the latest news and unique discussions about the world of professional wrestling.
Sure, there are those who attempt to appeal to the unwashed masses, but they are nothing more than false prophets whom I will expose.
Join us Thursday nights, 11 p.m. Eastern, for The Rap.
I am the bright beam of enlightenment that will serve as the avenging sword of taste and decency.
Redefining pro wrestling talk from the fans, for the fans, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You're welcome!
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show. From the big returns...
After 7 long years, finally, The Rock has come back to Monday Night Raw!
To the shocking moments.
Oh my God! Oh God! Don't do this, bro!
and the moments that leave you speechless.
I grew up locked in a basement, suffering severe psychological and emotional scarring when my brother set my parents on fire. From there, I shifted around among a series of mental institutions until I was grown, at which point I buried my brother alive. Twice. Since then, I've set a couple of people on fire and abducted various co-workers. Oh, and I once electrocuted a man's testicles.
It's the Law Post Show, Monday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air. Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
The first award was crowd participation. Your choices were Fandangling, Yes, Let's Go Cena, Cena Sucks, and What's Up? Sub, what's your pick?
I think I picked Cena Sucks.
No, you didn't.
What was it? You're great.
I love these picks.
Sub, you picked Yes, Yes, Yes.
Oh, yeah, Daniel O'Brien, of course.
Yeah!
why didn't I hear that? You didn't say that.
Yes, I did.
Yes.
And that was the one that won. Got that right.
Of course. Holy shit.
But because you changed your pick...
No, I didn't hear the option of Daniel O'Brien yet. The guy's magical. He's a magical little guy.
The LOL moment of the year. Your choices were The Great Khali and Jinder Mahal try to snake charm Santino's Cobra.
You know, when you say it like that, that sounds so wrong.
I know. So
I'm going to say I went with the first one where they try to tame the Cobra.
No, you didn't.
What did he say?
He said he took the snake charmer. No. No.
Well, see, that's what I figured I would go with.
That's what Rob picked. You picked Titus O'Neil throwing up. You were wrong. It was the Rock concert.
Jesus, I was way off there.
Insult of the year, Sub.
Fuck, I have no idea what I went with. I'm going to go with the Big Show and Stephanie.
Congratulations, you picked the winning one today.
Yeah.
Today.
Can I trade in the ones when I like get them all off them? Can I trade two of them in for a win?
Diva of the year.
I'll go with the Funkadactyl chick. No, because I know it was AJ Lee. Do I want to win now?
Hold on.
Or do I stick to my gun?
So which one are you picking?
Funkadactyl.
All right. So you picked AJ last week. You picked the Funkadactyls this week. Ace and Crispy picked AJ. That's all wrong. Rob picked the Bella Twins, and the Bella Twins won the award.
Suck it, bitches.
When you calculate everyone's pick, CB Radio and WTR pick. Subway, you were 500. You were 4-4. You did the best out of everybody.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Wait.
Down.
I think my head just exploded. I'm done. I'm
seeing something disconnected from my brain. I ain't taking calls. I came to kick ass tonight.
Tune in to CB Radio, Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine. The whole fucking show, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio on the Wild Talk Radio Network, boo.
Welcome back, WTRs, and tonight, Ross Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Rock playing the wrong Rocky theme.
I have the Tiger is the Rocky theme.
No, it's not. Gonna Fly Now is the original Rocky theme. I Have the Tiger is the Rocky III theme.
Gotta be more specific, Tim.
Dun, 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 dun.
You gotta be more specific. Just play that out. I used to know how to play that song.
That one?
Yeah, well. That's the one you got tonight.
Yeah, well, you fucked it right up, and so I just don't want to do it now. Anyway, welcome back. And, yeah, we're covering Money in the Bank. And the next match up tonight, Rusev Crush taking on Big E, or as I like to call it, Rocky Creed versus Thunderlove's Drago Rusev. Is it just me, or was Big E channeling Jesse Jackson tonight?
No. It's like you said, it is Drago versus Apollo Creed.
Yeah, but I'm
because that's what he was channeling. That's the exact like style that was used in the movie.
Yeah, no, but I was talking about the pre-match speech by Big E. He did.
Yeah.
He was sounding like Jesse Jackson. When Jesse Jackson gets friction.
I don't hear Jesse Jackson, so I don't know.
Okay.
That's why I would go with the movie reference that I know.
Well, there you go. But yeah, let's face it, I did nail it with Rocky Creed and Thunderlips Drago. Yes, I combined like four characters into two. This was fun. Two big guys wailing on each other. You know, it was the best part of the match for you, Mace. And before you answer, I think I know what you're going to say.
Lana.
There you go. The bootay. You're nothing if not predictable sometimes.
I likes what I likes.
You know, in profile, it looks even better than, like, face-on. Or, like, directly square-on. Face-on, some people might like
front
that.
Front-on, side-on, profile, silhouette, whatever. It looks good.
There you go. Well, I've seen worse that were dressed up to look okay, too. So, we're good with that one. And so, do we want to say anything else about this match?
Rusev.
I was quite impressed with Rusev locking on the camel clutch.
Yeah.
Or the accolade and just how far he could stretch Big E back before he tapped.
Mm-hmm. That looked legit painful. It really did.
I like that they countered the spear spot at the beginning.
What the hell? It's playing music in the background.
Oh. Okay now. Apparently, phone call again. Thanks. I like that they blocked the spear spot in the beginning. They later hit the spear spot that Big E does where he spears the guy through the ropes. And Rusev crush, Rusev win. That's pretty much it.
Pretty much. But what else do you really expect out of the big guys?
Nothing, really. It was a better match than I expected. It went longer than I expected. You can tell they've been working together a lot on the house shows because this was the longest Rusev match we have seen.
Yeah, it was too.
Think about it. We actually had a back and forth in a Rusev match. It's moving up a little bit.
Oh, well, time to finish his win streak.
All right, Bo, come get him.
Bullshit. Rusev Crush. No, Brock Crush.
We then have Brie Bella and Nikki Bella backstage. Yes, Brie is back there. You know, she's there to support her husband, who was there earlier in the pre-show. Steph comments, what is she doing here? Do you hear a gnat buzzing?
Well, you know, her husband just happened to be there for the pre-show. Her sister's a part of the roster. Ex-employees, despite what Stephanie says later in the promo, do go backstage at any point in time that they're in the building.
If they're authorized.
No. Family members are never allowed in.
Never.
Never.
Never, ever. So it's WWE policy that authorized personnel is only allowed backstage. Brie then shows her new favorite video, and magically we're able to see inside Brie's phone, the video, on our screen. It's amazing.
No, you gotta love cloud technology.
I know, right? And we got to see the favorite moment of Vicky sending stuff into the mud. Or pudding. Or slop. Or whatever you want to call it. From Monday Night Raw.
Jello pudding.
Pretty much. And then Steph has Brie thrown out. Basically, get this person out. And make sure your sister stays gone. We're building.
I had to have a laugh at security who came up and go, okay, Miss Bella, let's go. I'm like, it's Ms. Danielson now.
Or at the very least, Miss Bryan.
Yeah.
You know.
Keep your story lies intact, would you?
Okay, if you say so.
So we're at the point where Steph got throws Brie out of the building.
Oh, I missed that part.
Okay, then. Yeah, that happened backstage.
Okay. I don't know. It was after the Big E match. Could have been in the bathroom when that happened.
I guess so. Yeah, so.
Because I wasn't making a cake or anything.
What are you talking about? You make muffins.
No, I made muffins last week, but when I got home today... Well, my dinner was cooking, I whipped up a sort of like it tastes like a blueberry muffin cake.
A cake is not supposed to taste like a muffin. A cake is supposed to take as a cake, and a muffin is supposed to taste like a muffin.
Well, when you combine the two, it's called fusion. It's really good, especially when you like blueberries, and I love blueberries. And you know what? Including cooking, it only took 35 minutes to make this from scratch.
Man, these tips, these cooking tips. If only.
What about?
If only you could teach people.
That might be an idea.
Anyway, girl fight time.
Fandango comes out as a special referee for Layla versus Summer Rae.
He bedazzled his referee shirt.
Yeah, it was just, apparently, Fandango likes triangles, which makes me wonder about him.
Yeah, I did write that down. That was from earlier. He does love triangles.
The match, my neighbor walks heavy.
The match was fine. It was a girl fight.
Yeah, it was a Layla Summer Rae fight. Whoop-dee.
Fandango was squatting a lot.
I think we should just say Layla wins and moves on, because I'm sick and tired of you talking about Fandango's doing the squats.
Summer cried afterwards.
Did she? Aww.
Yeah, she saw the rest of the scripts for the evening.
Leaked. The scripts were leaked. The pre-show script was leaked. Someone left it. Someone left it on a seat, and a fan grabbed it and started taking photos of it.
I swear I didn't do it.
We know it wasn't you, Tim.
Well, you know, Omega said that he didn't get a chance to watch the pay-per-view tonight. And we all know that WTR is harboring a mole. Just saying.
For the last time.
Moly, 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 mole. Mole.
I was part of the recent cutbacks.
Oh, so you're Josh Matthews.
The hell did Josh Matthews ever do wrong?
Mace, yeah. What'd you do? Why'd you get rid of Josh Matthews?
I called it. That's as much as I can give you.
Anyway, moving on, Tim.
Can we talk about the main event now?
You would be the one supposedly leading the ship.
Okay, I'm just making sure because I haven't been able to do the entire goddamn show all night.
Whether it's your phone dropping, your internet dropping, Skype dropping, or a phone call, yeah.
Multiple phone calls. And you guys, you can, you know, take your shots, literally and figuratively, whenever my Skype drops out. But when my son calls...
Yeah, I know. And
That's the legit thing, especially now that my kid is 14 goddamn years old. Shit!
Yeah, I know. I have the pay-per-view on the replay, and I'm about to watch Seth Rollins die. Yep, right there.
Seth Rollins is dead!
Yeah, replay.
Quick, somebody go and update Wikipedia.
Wait for the, yeah. Oh, hey, yeah, poor Chris Jericho.
Blame Rob. Anyway, main event time.
Rob did it.
That's why it's blame Rob.
Hey, there's a Money in the Bank match for the actual titles instead of the contract, because they already had the contract match. Now it's for the actual titles. And in the contest of John Cena, Bray Wyatt, Randy Orton, Roman Reigns, Kane, Cesaro, Del Rio, and Sheamus.
First thing I noticed, most of these guys are veterans. They stayed away from the ladders for a few minutes.
Yeah, well, that's just smart.
Let the young kids take the bumps.
Now, you stop and you think about it. It's the Money in the Bank title match. Sheamus has been in them before. Del Rio's been in them before.
Cena.
Kane's been in them before. Randy Orton's been in them before. John Cena's been in them before. Have the other ones been in them before?
Cesaro has.
Roman Reigns?
No.
Bray Wyatt?
No.
So, basically, I'm calling out Michael Cole for being a dumbass. Did you guys miss that at one point he said all these guys have been in the Money in the Bank matches before?
I'd really need it pointed out that Michael Cole's a dumbass, though.
No, I'm playing the role of Captain Obvious this month.
We can go back to the hashtag Michael Cole is a moron. Oh, he started years ago. So
there.
How's that?
Yeah, how did that go?
Went very well, actually.
Well, that's good. Glad to hear it. Michael Cole is an idiot all the time. Le Mans called it not.
Anyway.
The Grand Prix racing name called it.
Talk about the match, Tim.
There were a lot of ladders involved and big guys and no real spots, especially in comparison to the first one. I found this to be somewhat boring.
There was a spot in this match. Roman had a ladder. Sheamus had a ladder.
Yep.
JBL and goes. Sheamus doesn't have as big of a ladder as Roman.
That was the spot pointing out that the ladder was smaller.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. They made a dick
joke. People
joke.
Have issues. That's why they drive, you know, sports cars.
Yeah, it was preceded with Roman and Sheamus squashing Kane with ladders.
Yeah. That was fun.
At least it wasn't Swagger.
Orton got...
But, those of you who are still in school, kids, if you're told that geometry will be used in real life, listen to your math teacher.
Because it came into play in this one. Orton got busted open early in this one, and they actually pulled him away for a little bit and cleaned
just
him up.
Wipe his head.
They cleaned him up a little bit. He wasn't happy about it. But yeah, they were innovative. Talk about that, Tim.
Well, it's, you know, it's at one point in time, who was it? It was Cesaro pulls the ladder into the ring, and he bridges the ladder into the corner ropes when you look at.
It was a 10-foot ladder, so that's where the internet plays fun with us.
Yes, and this is where we start bringing Omega into the conversation, because he saw this bit.
Yeah, Tim, you were cutting out on that, so continue.
It was a 15- or 20-foot ladder. Am I still cutting out?
Now you're good.
Okay, cut that out. Thanks, Joey. Full House reference.
I got the Full House reference.
Yeah, I got it, and I facepalmed.
And we just ignore. Yeah, we just like, oh yeah, and we're moving on. He gets it up, he walks across it, and next thing you know, that ladder winds up right in the middle of the two legs of the upright ladder.
Yeah, they
Roman Reigns proved he was pretty strong.
He did prove it. He pushed the ladder over.
No, he lifted the ladder up.
Okay, he lifted the ladder up.
And he lifted up the side of the ladder where Sheamus was. Because you had Sheamus on one side and Cesaro on the other, and they were wailing on each other when Roman Reigns came and lifted the ladder up and braced it on that ladder that got shoved into the middle. And so they're like leaning, and I'm thinking that fucking thing's going to slide right down and kill them both.
No.
But no. Geometry played a part.
Geometry did play a part. Before we talk more about that spot, because it was impressive, and Sheamus and Cesaro hanging off of the ladders,
mm-hmm.
They were hanging from the belt before this.
They were.
It's like, holy crap, they're hanging. One of them's going to fall and hurt themselves. Eventually.
Well, one of them did fall, didn't he?
Sheamus fell first.
Let the belts unstrap. Let the belts unstrap and screw over all the booking.
You were hoping for the TNA finish.
The ultimate X finish from way back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Damn right.
But yeah, no, apparently WWE can afford to actually build something that holds.
They have this new fancy hook thing for the belts, yeah.
Because was
big
it Cesaro left?
Thing.
Yeah, Cesaro.
You mean
left
the clothes hanger they have up there?
Like clothes hanger.
Well, it's different than what they used to have. They used to just hang it on a hook. This is now a fancy gold thingy. They have
yeah,
the belts
but
on.
When Cesaro was dangling, wasn't his arms like hooked through one of the belts?
Each man had one arm hooked through the belt and was supporting themselves by grabbing onto their own wrists. Then when, I think it was Sheamus dropped off?
Yeah.
Cesaro put his other arm through the other belt the opposite way to hold himself up.
Now, never mind that great big golden coat hanger. WWE uses rivets that really hold on their
I was more surprised with Cesaro's arm strength.
The guy, yeah.
I was half expecting him to start doing chin-ups for the fuck of it.
Well, he probably could have, damn it.
No, to be fair, I've seen that big gold belt fall apart so many times, I would not trust it to hang on to like that.
Mm. Well, yeah, true. I think that those are prop belts, man. Not the real ones.
Just weld the thing shut.
Exactly. You know, this is what I'm thinking. Just because all that weight on each belt, like, let's face it. Cesaro is solid, and Sheamus ain't no cream puff.
Nope.
And this is not the moon, where gravity is like one-tenth it is on Earth. So there was a lot of...
Some of the people wrestling tonight.
Oh, there's a lot of strain on that shit, let me tell you.
We then had everyone go for the gold at one point. They all... But, hey, I'm going to climb. No, I'm going to climb.
And everybody except for, what, one guy was on the ladder?
I think.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was, you know, the entire match overall was just, for the most part, pretty entertaining. But as soon as the end of the match came along, I just knew people are going to start, you know, the bitching had already started.
Bray hit Sister Abigail on Orton.
That was good.
Mm-hmm. Bray starts to climb. Del Rio stopped him. Bray got kicked in the head. Del Rio climbs. Sheamus pulls Del Rio off. Hits him with a bro kick. Sheamus then climbs. Cesaro yanks him off into an uppercut and into the neutralizer. Orton stops Cesaro. Swings him off the ladder into an RKO, which was nice. And then at this point, Orton and Roman were going for the belt. And Orton's been busted wide open again.
Well, did we kind of sort of skip over the part where Bray Wyatt was doing his bridge walk?
Oh, that was long before. That was way early in the match.
Yeah. Mace, you gave us a picture that was absolutely priceless.
Yeah, Bray doing it. Just the perfect shot with Heyman in the background with bug eyes.
Oh, God, that was sweet. That was good. I mean, you don't even notice this thing in real time the first time through. But the guy plays his part to such absolute perfection. I still agree with you. He should have been on commentary.
Yeah, it would have made this match a lot more interesting if they had Heyman on commentary for this.
Mm-hmm. Where were we, Rock?
We had Orton and Roman fighting. Orton's cut was really bloody at this point.
Kane, crimson mask.
It was a crimson mask, almost. Crane stabs Roman, hits him with a chokeslam, holds the ladder for Randy Orton. So Randy Orton's going to climb. He's going to climb. John Cena comes in. AA to Kane. AA to Orton. Cena makes his climb. Cena hooks the hanger. And your winner and new WWE champion
is not Triple H and Stephanie.
You really, guys, you know, it is not them. It is John Cena.
Yeah, and here's where everybody's going to be, I'm going to boycott because John Cena won the titles. Fuck, people. Oh, my God. Jesus Christ. You know, where this whole thing, it's cool to bash Cena started, was at ECW One Night Stand. With that guy in the crowd, Cena wins, we riot with that sign. That now infamous sign in the crowd. And it became fashionable, became cool. I bashed Cena because there were times he deserved to be bashed. There are deficiencies in Cena's wrestling, in his aura, in his presence. There were deficiencies with Hulk Hogan. There were deficiencies with Ultimate Warrior. There were deficiencies with Bret fucking Hart. There were deficiencies with Stone Cold Steve Austin and our great kid Shawn Michaels. Everybody has their deficiencies. Deal with it. It's not fashionable to be a bitch about the fact that John Cena won the title. Maybe think long term and that WWE has an overreaching plan, and the reason why John Cena won the title, we'll find out maybe around SummerSlam. What do you think, Mace?
Yeah, look, it's already come out, the results have come out, and every fucking news site on the planet has the exact same comment section right now. Mm-hmm. It's, oh, they gave the belt to Cena. Fucking Cena, I'm so sick of Cena winning. Oh, I'm going to boycott Raw, which we all know everybody's going to fucking tune in to Raw tomorrow night.
Highest rated Raw in about 2 months.
Yeah, it will be. You watch. You fucking watch. It will be. It'll be a fucking high rating Raw. They're all saying the exact same shit. And, you know, usually I'd be sitting there with them going, you know, fucking, this is stupid. But given the situation that they've got at the moment with Bryan out injured, which they weren't expecting...
Add another shot.
you know, with Bryan being out injured, they had to go to the backup plan. The backup plan being, okay, what can we do for SummerSlam that's going to draw numbers? Okay, we were originally going to possibly go Brock versus Bryan.
That was
who's the next biggest babyface on the card? I wonder if there's that guy who just won his 15th world title.
Well, it makes Ric Flair's title wins look like such a fucking joke.
Flair's title wins will never be a fucking joke because it was the fact that Flair won them over multiple companies.
Yep.
And he held them during a day where it took a committee to vote who would be a champion, and it was awarded to a guy who put in the most effort on the road.
And the people who were given the title were also given the most money in the company during the title reign only.
Yep.
And it was considered a reward for work well done. The title, let's face it, kids, WWE wrestling, it's kind of predetermined, just so you know. Okay? Sorry to let the cat out of the bag. But if you don't like the movie, leave the cinema. If you don't like that episode of Golden Girls, turn the channel. Golden Girls? What the fuck?
It's still real to me, damn it!
Thank you very much.
No, I can't watch this episode. Blanche is being a bitch.
There you go. Can you believe what Joey said to Ross last night? Oh, I'm boycotting Friends. Joey's such an idiot. Joey should share his food.
Now, fuck this episode of Seinfeld. I'm going to go watch Home Improvement.
Oh, that's even worse. I don't like the way Tim Allen grunted in that episode. Fuck you.
So, every episode.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, but to go back on this whole Cena thing, people need to realize that, and I can't believe I'm going to use this fucking term, Cena's title win is, and everybody together now, best for business.
And clip.
I know, I feel fucking dirty saying that.
I threw up a little bit.
Yeah, would you like some scope or Listerine?
Oh, I think I need a beer.
You might need something stronger. How about some wild turkey? Yeah, you might need something stronger. How about some wild turkey?
Yeah. I'll get the ice.
Yeah, I'll split the bottle with you. I never drink bourbon with ice in it anyway. I just do it by the shot. So.
But yeah, unfortunately, it is at this stage that term. And, you know, here's the thing. Like, a lot of people have gone, let's just get straight out of the way now. It is Cena versus Brock at SummerSlam. This has already been spoiled on every news site. Blame Amazon.
Thanks, Amazon.
And people go, oh, I don't want to see it. And I'm sitting here going, have you morons not seen their last encounter?
Great match.
Yeah, Extreme Rules 2012. Go watch it. And you will see why they've decided to put this up as the match for SummerSlam.
It's on the WWE Network for only $9.95 a month.
Exactly. You already have the freaking network, so go and watch it.
Yes.
I can't. I'm watching Money in the Bank.
Oh, watch it afterwards.
See, I'm saying this terrible singlet is Curtis tries to be his daddy.
Told you.
Yeah, terrible singlet is terrible. Bad single.
But people have to realize that when you're in this type of situation, and you have a guy like John Cena who is extremely well known in and out of the company, and you're only two months away from SummerSlam.
Yep.
Not only 2 months away from SummerSlam, 2 months away from renewals.
Yeah.
Well, you like wanna, 1 month and 3 weeks.
No. If a lot of people who ordered the WWE Network on day one, most of their subscriptions run out around the 25th of August.
Yeah.
So it's just before SummerSlam or the week of. So they need to get those renewals in. Even I just went and renewed for another 6 months. Because I figured, hey, at $10 a month, at least my pay-per-views are cheap.
Well, yeah, and, you know, here's the thing. They hit 1 million people buying the WWE Network at $10. That's $10 million a month.
Yeah, it's not enough.
When
as the investors have said, it's not enough.
But well, they don't. Investors are fucking morons in their tools, and they need to stop being bean counters. Before the network, how many people were buying pay-per-views?
One, before you even go there. They don't have 1 million for the network yet. Anyway.
Not yet, but it's getting there. It's going to happen, right? But
they're hoping.
How many people were buying pay-per-views domestically? Anywhere from 120 to 180,000 on average, right? Lately.
Keep talking for a minute. I'll have an answer for you.
Yeah, okay. Now, when you stop and you think about it, at $49.95, you're buying one pay-per-view. And different people are buying different pay-per-views in different months because, especially in the economy that, especially the United States went through the last little while, not everybody can afford every pay-per-view anymore, especially when the price of the pay-per-view goes up. But, you know, your incomes go down or you lose your jobs or whatever.
All right, Tim, I'm going to cut you off really quick.
Yep.
According to the latest key performance indicators on WWE Corporate's website, Extreme Rules pay-per-view on May 4th of this year did 107,000 buys worldwide.
Yeah, but that was this year the network was existing.
Can you let me finish this paragraph?
Yes, okay, go ahead.
That is broken down with 40,000 buys domestic and 67 buys international. This is down from last year's show that drew 208,000 buys.
Now, why is it down by 101,000 buys?
I wonder.
They've got over 600,000 subscribers.
I would assume, yeah.
600,000 times 10. 6 million. 200,000 times 50. 1 million.
Mm-hmm. That's their hope.
That's the goal. It's going to happen. So I'll be more than happy to lose $300 million in a billion-dollar company in the short term to gain $800 million the same time next year.
This is not a one-year thing. And that's what people who are talking about this network thing,
yep,
they're not seeing the big picture.
Thank you.
They see, oh my God, short term, they're losing $40 million this year. They told you 2 years ago, when they start the network, they would take a big hit. This network is...
People have short memories.
This network is working out great. And we talked about this last night. People who complain, oh my God, every episode of Monday Night Raw is not on the network. They're putting every episode of Raw in order on the network. There's random ones, and they have every episode from 2012 to 2014. On the network, and they're starting from 1993 and moving on. There's random episodes in 98 because they show Best of Raw, so you have random years in there. But in how long has the network been around? 4 months?
When did it start?
We're heading into month five.
We're heading into month five, and we have the first 2 years of Raw already on the network. What do you want from these people?
Everything, right now.
Yeah,
I still want my Nitro episodes, damn it.
They want everything immediately, like yesterday, and they don't want John Cena to hold any titles, because it just cheapens everything. Fuck off.
Is John Cena the guy we all want to see? No, but
not everybody does. So what? Not everybody's going to want to see Roman Reigns hold the title when it happens. Not everybody wanted to see Daniel fucking Bryan hold the title.
Which is why not everyone get what they want. This is, again, as May said, best for business.
Well, you know, it's like the Rolling Stones says, you can't always get what you want, but, you know, if you try sometimes, you might find out you get what you need. Stop being so short-sighted, stop being so goddamn entitled and so goddamn selfish. Start realizing that the internet wrestling community, believe it or not, even though the WWE has finally...
and this week's...
Finally what? Don't leave me in suspense!
Oh, if I could only use these powers for good instead of evil. Oh my God. See, here's the thing. Like, I don't mind putting up with, yet again, John Cena holding the belt. Because I see down the road... I'm seeing this big guy, you know, that man who broke the streak at WrestleMania.
God damn
it. Getting the belts at SummerSlam, and that's where my intrigue is going to go. It's what's going to happen after Brock smash Cena. So I'm willing to put up with a couple of months of John Cena as champion when I get to see Brock smash Cena. So,
yeah.
Tim,
hello.
Finally what? We're in suspense.
I can't even remember where the hell I was, for Christ's sakes.
Fuck!
You
I'm
said...
so goddamn mad right now. Yes, refresh me.
You said finally, and then you cut off.
Finally. Well, what was I saying before that?
Where everyone's entitled.
Oh yeah, where everybody, you know, all of you entitled little minorities, finally the WWE has embraced the internet. Let's face it, the internet wrestling community is still a major minority. It's a tiny little blip on the radar of the grand scheme of things. You want to boycott? Boycott. Don't threaten it. Frickin' do it. Guess what? You are definitely not going to cause much of a ripple or a dent in WWE Raw tomorrow night. You know, walk the talk. If you're going to boycott and be bitchy about it, fine. I'm pissed off at PW Mania, by the way, a website that we have dealings with. Did you read their tweets?
No, I've been off of Twitter.
Okay, well, it says, favorite or retweet if you thought Money in the Bank really sucked, and they're all bitchy about John Cena, and you got people, you know, posting that they're going to boycott and they're not going to watch it, and John Cena cheapens the title reigns and all this other stuff. Fuck, people, you're morons, okay? That's all there is to it. And there are some of you that I have read tweets, you know, on Twitter. I've read your tweets. You listen to the show regularly. You're talking smack. You're just full of shit. Shut up. I'm not going to be CM Punk and tell you to go kill yourselves, but I'm going to tell you to grow the fuck up.
The views and opinions expressed by Tim Stein do not represent the rest of the Wild.
Yeah, whereas that. Tim won't tell you to go and kill yourself. I say go for it and take your stupidity with you. It's the only way humanity survives and evolves.
The views and opinions
of the mace. Hey, listen, Mace and I are
The views expressed by Mace are governed by a cause called natural selection, which means the survival of the fittest, which means the dumb of you, please leave our planet.
This is what pisses me off about you're not allowed to sell Easy Bake Ovens anymore to little girls. If your little brother is dumb enough to stick his hand inside there and get it burned off, he deserves to get it burned off. He'll learn never to do it again, right?
No. We can't sell Easy Bake Ovens anymore because Easy Bake Ovens sucked.
When I was a kid, we had lawn darts. And only one kid in the neighborhood lost his eye because we all learned. He was a good example for us. Kids today don't have that, so they don't know to smarten the fuck up. Because they don't know what consequences are.
But we now live in a world where they have technology where you can buy a toy that allows you to have adult time with your tablet.
Adult time with your tablet? What?
Do you really want to know?
Okay, I can put an end to this right now with one simple analogy. You guys live in a country where something as simple as the Easy Bake Oven is banned because some stupid kid can burn his hand, yet you still have guns in the fucking house.
There you go. Thank you, Mace. Thank you, Mr. Australian.
You're welcome.
There you go. By the way, I was talking about you today. I ran into some girls from Australia.
They probably don't know me.
I was about to say, it turns out they don't know who you are.
That doesn't fucking surprise me. Australia is a very big place.
It was funny to me, so we did it. So, yeah. Well, people are so stupid, it just makes me sick sometimes. Not everybody. Most of the people that listen to us are highly intelligent.
Except for the guy in Arizona named... Anyway.
Oh, yeah, there's some guy named Brent who's a real fucking tool.
Anyway, we got some notes.
I'm not going to say that he lives in Arizona or anything like that, but you get the idea.
He's a Cowboys fan. Anyway.
Apparently, he hates us both.
Anyway, I got a couple of news and notes to throw out there regarding from Money in the Bank.
Okay.
This is from Twitter because some guy was there actually live. Zeb Coulter had no clue when Kane was coming out, so that's why they pulled him away from the pyro really fast.
Oh, okay.
And during the main event, Triple H had to physically pull a Spanish announcer out of the way of a spot. He was hurt bad.
Uh-oh.
So when you watch it back, look for that spot.
Which Spanish announcer? It wasn't Ricardo, was it?
I think Ricardo knew common sense to get out of the way.
If it was Ricardo, he would have tweeted about it by now.
He would have.
Yeah, you're right, he would have.
So those are your little bit of notes coming out of...
so far, more to follow.
More to follow, go to pwmania.com. They'll have all the news and notes that you can possibly handle.
There you go.
I know.
Absolutely.
Now, we do pick them, and we tell everybody, you join the join us, and we make some picks. Tim was bragging all night long about his great picks. Rich Tim.
Well, no, that was just for the first half. The first four matches I was bang on. The next three sucked. Okay, shut up.
William went 5-2. And then a whole chunk of us went 4-3.
So I don't feel bad. I'm right with the majority.
Rob went 3-4.
Subway?
Subway was in the with everyone else and went 4-3.
He was a 4-3 too? Yeah. The guy never watches it.
No, actually, he's caught up. He watches Raw now.
Oh, so he's like the Southeastern USA version of Mace. Only not smart.
He watches it on his smartphone now. Off of YouTube.
There you go.
So he actually knows what he's talking about a little bit.
A little bit.
A little bit. And Omega didn't pick, so he's at the bottom of the list.
No. I went 0-0. It's a perfect score.
We could have gave you the... We could have.
No. Omega is a did not enter. Or did not finish.
We could have went with the way we did it for Ace. Ace picked Gilbert, Eric Watts, the Mountie, Jillian Hall, Joel Gertner, Justin Bieber, and Barry Horowitz.
You're kidding.
Well, he wasn't around.
And he got a perfect 100%.
He wasn't around, so King Ken's made some picks for him.
Rod freaking Carew back to 1,000, man.
So that's pick him. What was that? All right, we're going to change things up, Tim. Win for the pay-per-view.
Say that again?
Win for the pay-per-view.
Win for the pay-per-view?
Yes.
Win for the pay-per-view?
What is your win for the pay-per-view?
What was my win for the pay-per-view?
Yeah.
I hate you, Rock. Seth Rollins, man. I mean, you can't pick anything else on that. The guy took some heavy bumps in that match. And it was entertaining. I didn't like how it finished. I'm with Mace on that one. It was kind of hanky. But overall... everything that was going down was fantabulous.
All right, Mace, what was your win?
Ambrose. Dude supposedly pops his shoulder halfway through the match and says, "Fuck it, pop back in, let me go." Well, even if it was a work, man, it still takes some balls to do that.
It was, but yeah, you're right.
Yeah, it was a work. It was fucking, you know, anybody with half a brain could tell it was a work, but, you know, even so.
Well, that lets the majority of people watching the pay-per-view tonight that didn't like it.
My win was the strength of Cesaro and Sheamus hanging from the thing, the hanger above the ring. That was my win.
The strength test. The pull-up test.
Mm-hmm.
That's the... pro wrestling's version of the combine.
Pretty much. From what you've seen on the replay, Omega, what's your win?
I'm gonna go with Seth Rollins as well. If not for pulling out the win, getting the money in the bank, for taking a really freaking nasty bump on the ladder.
Mm-hmm.
Because that bump did not go the way it was supposed to.
No, it was. No, he was just supposed to land on the ladder and be done. But nope, the ladder was like, "We're gonna fuck your shit up."
I think they forgot the ropes had a little bit of pliability when you exert force on them. They bounce.
Good in theory. Do we want to give a fail for the pay-per-view?
John Cena winning the titles.
Says the internet.
My reaction is the internet's reaction to Cena winning the belts.
You know, I was exactly going to say that. I was just being a smartass, but that's my fail as well, same as Mace. People, grow up, okay? It's no longer cool to bash Cena.
Well,
that's
yeah,
so
yeah, it's, well, it still is cool to bash Cena. It's just,
oh God,
you know, do
go.
It with reason.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
Okay. It's the whole thing of using your brains and that little thing called logic and just sort of think beyond the usual mob mentality that is the IWC. It's the we hate Cena 24/7, even though what they just did is probably their best option at the time.
Uh huh.
So, well, you know, it give hate when hate is deserved, not just because.
My fail was Layla versus Summer Rae. I expected a better match.
Really?
Yes, I did. I actually did.
You actually expected a better match out of them?
Yeah.
Where have you been?
Actually. Yeah. What have you been watching that we haven't?
I've seen Summer Rae improve in NXT. I was figuring we would get a better match out of her. I was disappointed.
Yeah, that's NXT. Have you not seen that NXT is this completely different reality and dimension than mainstream WWE?
No, they're one and the same. Oh my God, people have gifted the referee pulling Coulter out of the way. Anyway, Omega, what's your fail?
Paul Revere. As a time waster on Raw, fine. Don't make me pay for it.
Yeah, that was basically the filler. So overall, pretty good show.
Yeah, it was a B+.
Can we say that since they've gone to the network, the shows have been quality every single time?
The quality's been getting better. I'll give them that. It hasn't exactly been, you know, A+, 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 A+. It's been, you know, a consistent average of B's and C's. As opposed to what we were viewing last year's, which was D's, E's, F's, and Z's.
That's what I mean. We're getting better quality shows right now.
Yeah, overall, the quality has improved, and it's getting better.
Which is what we want now from the network.
But the thing that really pisses me off, and we've talked about it ad infinitum until we got sick and tired of talking about it, so we shut up. People bitch and complain that there's no length for their angles and their storylines because they're doing a pay-per-view every month, and they rush their storylines. Now, with somebody who used to be a professional wrestler having a hell of a lot of say in creative, storylines are starting to last longer, and people are bitching and complaining that they're not going the way they want them to go.
I think people are just complaining just for the hell of it nowadays.
Yeah, pretty much.
So that's Money in the Bank.
Yeah, and on that note, I just want to say Cowboys suck.
Yeah, they do.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
Wow.
That's right, it's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow, fine.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
We'll start with Tim. Tim, if you could have a legendary manager manage Seth Rollins, who would it be and why?
Anybody from history?
Yes.
Managing Seth. Oh, I've got it narrowed down to two people almost immediately. Either Jimmy Hart or Bobby the Brain.
Why?
Just, that would just be priceless, that's why.
Alright. Mace. Which fictional character do you wish was real?
Which fictional character do I wish was real?
Uh-huh.
God, and the fact that you put no restrictions on it, it's like, what the fuck, where do I go with this one? I'm going to go
Pokemon.
With... No. Because I'm limited to one. If it was Pokemon, I'd have to be all the Pokemon. At this point, I'm going to go with... Gotta catch the one. Gonna be like, gonna be the very best like no one ever was, just gonna catch the one. Okay.
It's easy to be the very best when you're the only one who has it.
Yeah. I'm gonna go with Batman. I don't know why, just Batman.
Okay. Omega, if you had a warning label, what would yours say?
Does not play well with others.
Not to be handled by children under three. Has contained small parts.
No.
Choking
no.
Hazard.
Fuck. You
Sorry.
Shit. You shit pipers took my entire joke lineup.
Oh, we know you too well.
Oh, god damn it.
We fucked him up. I think we broke Omega.
Oh, you assholes.
Yeah, we broke Omega.
Really did take everyone I was thinking of. Like, as soon as I thought it, someone else piped up. Fuck. Oh, I got another. Oh, fuck. No.
Do not remove tag under penalty of law.
Dry clean only.
There you go. Quick, accept it before somebody else comes up with something else.
Tim, if you discovered a new species of dinosaur, what would you call it?
Well, it depends. What kind of dinosaur did I discover?
You tell me. You discovered it.
A Flexosaurus.
Why?
I don't know. It's the first thing that popped into my head. Because it could bend over backwards?
Okay. Mace. Let's see. Mace, if you could have a legendary manager manage Dean Ambrose, who would it be and why?
Oh,
managing,
I know.
Someone managing Ambrose. See, I'm thinking Jimmy Hart because he's the only person like most hyper. He'd be like that really annoying henchman.
I would have suggested think Dairy Queen.
Cornette. Nah.
There you go.
No. Actually, I'd go probably Bobby the Brain Heenan. No, fuck that. Paul Heyman. Team up Ambrose and Heyman. The mad doctor of wrestling and the fucking psychopathic. Go for
You're looking at Frankenstein and his monster.
No, no, that's Heyman and Lesnar.
Well, I was thinking Young Frankenstein. You know, the Mel Brooks one.
Yeah.
With Gene Wilder.
Yeah, I know the one you're talking about. I just really don't care.
Either way, I've still got mental images of Brock shouting "Fire bad."
You know what's scary is I can picture that now. Thanks, Omega.
So, Omega, can you figure out what your question is going to be?
Yes.
If you're a tree,
it's over.
No. What is the craziest rumor you have ever heard about yourself?
About myself.
About yourself.
Shut up, Tim.
Oh, God. You're talking about on... You're asking this of an internet personality. I have people who loathe me. No, it's not so much, like, rumors. It's like vicious slander.
What's the most vicious slander you've heard about yourself?
Oh, God. Just bringing up bad memories. Okay, so... Okay. So... I've mentioned the name Scott McNeil before, who is a voice actor that I see at cons at least twice a year. He's a friend of mine now.
Wait.
Real deal, Scott McNeil.
Wait. You know Scott McNeil?
Yeah.
Wow. Totally blown away by this.
Okay, he's being a facetious prick, and you should tell him fuck off.
If only I could see you ask him questions on YouTube.
Yeah, give me 2 weeks and I'll be asking him more.
Sweet.
There was a podcast after BotCon where we were the first official Transformer convention I got to go to. He happened to go that same year. And about a month later there was a Transformer podcast, not the one I'm on, different one. We were discussing one of the videos that I had done, and then just kind of rolled off into some Scott McNeil talk. And someone mentioned, I heard a rumor that they had heard a rumor that Scott McNeil got lucky at BotCon. Well, someone else on the panel wasn't paying attention completely, so all they heard was half of that dialogue from the last 2 minutes, and he stops the whole podcast going, wait, Scott McNeil got lucky with TJ Omega?
And clip.
No, all I'm thinking is, please tell me you told Scott that story, and what was his reaction?
You should. I should.
Because seeing the way he acts with you in those videos, oh my god, the reactions could be priceless.
Well, that pretty much takes care of another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Everybody, thanks for tuning in. And I hope you enjoyed all of the crap that we laid on your doorstep. Don't forget, tomorrow night, immediately following Raw, that's right, the second Raw goes off the air, head to wildtalkradio.com because it's the Raw post show.
Yeah, we will be on right after Monday Night Raw, so I would bookmark at 11:10-ish.
It's a good idea to be in the chat room at least 11:08 Eastern.
Yeah, be there.
As a matter of fact, just for shits and giggles, everybody, we're going to keep trying this until it actually catches on. Be in the chat room tomorrow night for Monday Night Raw. Let's get a Raw chat going on wildtalkradio.com.
You heard it. So check it out. Raw post show right after Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, and then of course Thursday night some shit happens on somebody's rack.
Thursday night the rack will be on at a special starting time of 10 p.m. Eastern when we are joined by author extraordinaire Brian Shields to talk about 30 years of WrestleMania, his new book coming out this September. So check it out, the rack. Special start time, 10 p.m. Eastern right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Check out rackradioshow.com. And follow our show on Twitter at WTR_rack and facebook.com/WTRTheRack.
Yeah, and is it just me or is CB Radio getting weirder every week on Saturday nights around 12 midnight-ish Eastern or as close as you can get to it?
I wouldn't call us getting weirder.
What would you call it?
The show.
More esoteric?
It's the show. It's just the show at this point.
It's just CB, dude, tune in and check it out.
Yeah, we talked about
the wild, the weird, the wacky, the unusual.
The weird, the weird, the wacky, and the unusual. It's CB Radio. Follow the show on Twitter at CB Radio WTR and Facebook.com/CigaretteButtsAndBandanas because we will tell you on last week's show, we did last night, how you can have adult time with your tablet and iPad.
Yeah, you know what? I saw that link you showed me. That's disgusting.
But it could be yours for only $24.95.
Absolutely sick and disgusting. That's just...
It's a thing.
It's on $24.95?
That's it.
Shit, where's my credit card? Don't forget, next Sunday night at our regular time of 10 o'clock Eastern, another edition of WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. You never know who's going to call in.
Follow me.
Seriously, you just don't know.
You don't. Follow me on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio and Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network, Tim.
Follow me at GoNHLGo on Twitter. And you'll be happy that you did.
No, you can scar people on Twitter.
I haven't scarred anybody yet. Not for lack of trying.
I think you scarred King Kittens because he...
Oh, no. You scarred King Kittens
no,
on Twitter last night.
No, he brought it up.
Well, then he scarred his own... He scarred himself.
As we were playing cards against Manny, he read your Twitter and he got excited. Mm-hmm.
He got excited. You know what? If King Kittens finds a credit card, somebody's in trouble.
On that note, Mace...
Okay, follow me on Twitter at the Mace Thing. Also, because I didn't get to do it last week, for those of you tuned in from Friday the 20th of June till the 25th of June, thank you. MarioMarathon.com raised $85,164.79 over 110 hours of gameplay, all money going towards Child of Play charity. The marathon did get a last-minute boost thanks to a mention from Mr. Will Wheaton on the Will Wheaton Project, which pushed them over their goal of over $500,000 raised over the last 7 years. So anybody
nice.
who came from WTR and either watched the marathon or has donated, a big thank you. What else we got? YouTube.com/user/... WTR Games Garage. Recent video, I opened up a nice little thing called a loot crate, which is a random box of nerd goodies that people should be buying from the link in the video description, so that way it helps me save a couple bucks. And finally, if anyone here is listening from the eastern suburbs of Victoria, Australia, and you play card games, head on down to Next Level Games at 164 Marinda Highway, Ringwood, Tuesday through Sunday. Games being played there on a weekly basis include Yu-Gi-Oh!, Pokemon, Cardfight Vanguard, Magic the Gathering, X-Wing Tabletop. I believe they're starting the Star Wars card game series very, very soon. And just about anything else that might be hanging around in the store. So head on down any afternoon and have a game. Who knows, you might even see me there.
Cool.
Before I throw it to Megan, go check out my reviews of SummerSlam 88 and 89, now available on wildtalkradio.com, and more to come in the days and weeks ahead leading up to SummerSlam. Omega.
Everything I do can be found over at tjomega.org, but if you're not in the mood to go to a website, there is YouTube, which is TJ Omega. There's Facebook at TJ Reviews. There is Twitter at TJ Omega, and pretty much anything you Google with TJ Omega in it.
One thing, Omega, don't all of those have anything to do with a website? Just saying.
I don't think people want to start Googling TJ Omega.
Probably not.
That's a really good idea.
I don't think good things will come of people trying to Google you.
No. I completely agree. I don't even Google myself.
I would hope not.
That's why you paid $24.95. Anyway.
Yeah, see, he set you up for that. I knew exactly where it was going.
Say goodbye, Tim.
Goodbye, Tim. Everybody, thanks for tuning in. We'll catch you next Sunday night. Take care. Enjoy the week. And for those Canadians tuning in, happy Canada Day on Tuesday. For you Americans, happy Independence Day coming up next this coming Friday.
Wildtalkradio.com